Hey, this is Scott Master Adam. This is the fourth podcast in a long string of them, hopefully. Tonight we got a really good one for you. Scott Master Phil, Eric McIntosh, and Jeff Hoppy, a couple of scouters from the internet world. We sat down for about 90 minutes or so and talked about a couple of topics here. And without further ado, you don't need to hear me yak at this moment. Let's get going. Yeah, don't make any mistakes. So, all right, we're recording, and this will be a very interesting thing in how we do this. So tonight, we're trying to figure out how to do this stuff over on Skype, because all the big boys apparently do it pretty well.
Well, not according to Clark's last podcast.
I haven't listened to that yet.
He failed miserably.
Just a podcast?
Well, no, the whole Skype thing. He somehow screwed it up and didn't record the whole thing.
Oh, well, the little red blinky light on my thing is blinking. And
that's good.
I can see the input and the output go, so. All right, well, so this is the fourth part of the fourth podcast that I thought I'd try to hook up and do, and I wanted to get a few guys together. We've got a few things that we're going to talk about, but the first of all, we're going to go through the basic intro around the room, try to keep it fun and exciting and very scouty. I'm just thinking of a training I went through where we all had to list the name of the first letter of our name had to be an animal, so we're not going to do that.
Platypus.
And then the last person had to go through and say their name and the animal and all that. So,
you know, that my oldest son actually just went about a month ago, went to his a troop meeting visit for his second year Weeblos requirement for Air of Light. Mm-hmm. And they actually did that game, but they used adjectives. So they had to use an adjective that started with the first letter of their first name.
I'm going to steal those ideas. That's what I do.
But they made it a little bit easier, and they only had to repeat the two previous boys in front of them. Oh. But I've seen it done where you actually have to do everybody that came before you, so that everybody knows everybody's name.
Yeah, that was at a Weeblos Wood thing that I learned. And it was the OA guy. It was a low cope thing, and I thought, low cope? I want to do high cope. High cope's a lot more fun than low cope, but... It was still very exciting what we did over like 3 hours, so it was good. All right, with that segment done, let's get into the basic intros. Since Phil got here first, we will have Phil go first, and then I'll introduce myself later, and then Jeffrey.
Phil. Ready?
Oh, cue Phil.
My name is Phil Peck. I'm a scout master up here in Northern Idaho. Been in scouting for 3 years registered now, but my son started as a wolf, and I've been doing scouting with him since then, and he's now 14, and I'm involved way over my head. So I'm loving every minute of it.
So you weren't a den leader or anything?
Nope, I was just an active parent. We had, you know, six boys in our den, and every parent was involved. So we could have had a den leader and five assistant den leaders, or 10 assistant den leaders, I guess, but it never needed to be that way. So, Yeah, I was never a registered Cub Scout leader until my last year, and I was a committee chair for the pack.
Okay, and then I met you when you were a committee chair for the troop.
Correct. I actually did committee chair for both the pack and the troop for 1 year, and I highly recommend no one ever do that. And then last November, I took over as scoutmaster of our troop, and been doing that for the last year.
So it's been a year. That's awesome.
It's been a year. I was sworn in a year ago.
Wow. You've survived.
I have.
Nice. Well, good. Jeffrey?
Well, my name is Jeff Hoppy. I am in Northern Kentucky, just south of Cincinnati. In some manners. They call it Southern Ohio, South Cincinnati. I am probably, well, it sounds like the most tenured scouter of the group. I actually started as a wolf before there was Tiger Cubs. Went all the way through Cub Scouts, earned my Arrow of Light, crossed over to a Boy Scout troop, went all the way through to 18, earned my Eagle, became assistant scout master, as most 18-year-olds do as they age out but go off to college but stay registered. Got married, moved away, didn't have kids, was out of the program for a while until my oldest son was Tiger age. Actually joined up, initially was planning to be the den leader, but the pack needed a committee chair. And at the very first cookout, the then Cub Master said, "Oh, you're the Eagle Scout. We need a committee chair. Would you like to do it?" Being the Eagle Scout that I am, said, "Well, sure." So ended up being the committee chair for the pack for my son's Tiger, Wolf, Bear years. And then by default had to switch over to being the Weeblos leader when he was a first year Weeblos scout, and then transitioned into Tiger Den leader now that my younger son has become a Tiger. So I'm starting to run the gamut of lots of positions under my belt. Fortunately, not all at the same time, although I am juggling the second year Weeblos as well as the Tiger Dens this year.
Aren't you stacking up on those knots?
Actually, yes. But no, I've not been the Cub Master, and really don't have an intention to, because I've committed to my younger son to be his den leader. Mm-hmm. Although towards the middle to the end of last school year, we were in search of a Cub Master, and my committee chair, who is afraid of standing up and speaking in front of folks and is not self-depreciating and all of that other stuff that good Cub Masters are, asked if I could step in. So I was interim Cub Master in name only.
Sign this application.
Yeah, you better check your charter. You may still be on there as Cub Master.
Actually, we just went through it yesterday, and fortunately I am listed only as the Tiger Den leader, which isn't
good for you. Good for you.
1 year, one knot.
Yeah, and I hope to get it completed before they do away with them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we could start a whole conversation about that one.
That could be another topic for another podcast, Adam.
Yeah.
especially at the Cub Scout level. But
I actually wrote national, and I got a really nice letter back. So it's a very interesting thing. But yeah, we'll table that till the next go around. Okay, well, I'm Adam Cox. I'm a Cub Master out here in Portland, Oregon, and this is my third year in doing that. I was a Tiger Den leader the first year for Elliot, and I think just like Jeff, I actually asked my son's permission to be Cub Master, and he actually took a few minutes and asked me a few questions. His main concern was, "So you're not going to go to the den meetings with me?" That was his big question. I said, no, I'm going to all your den meetings, but I just get to do stuff at the pack level. And so he said, "Okay, you can do that." So Cub Master for 3 years now. I've got another year to go. I just did the wolf year growing up, and I had a bad den mother and a bad craft, as I like to say, that just bad crafts can kill a scout career. And I got into it after Elliot brought home one of the flyers, and after a month or so of a couple of the meetings, I said, "Well, I'd like to do this," and here I am 4 years later, knee deep into it. So, and I'm also the district training chair for our group, and I think Jeff is as well, because we've twittered back and forth a bit. Or you're the program chair, Jeff.
calling Jeff.
Oops, sorry about that. What was the question? I was mute challenged.
Can you send this FOS check over? No. I was just saying, aren't you the training chair or the program chair for your district?
Actually, I was, when you had said that training chair, that reminded me, yes, I'm, my district hat is the, I think officially it's called the vice chair for programming.
You have a vice chair? What is a vice chair?
That's what they're called. I don't know why, but it's basically, it's the program chair. I report to the district chair person.
We can't even get a chairperson in our district, so I'm jealous.
Our district chairs tend to be businessmen of the community, which I think is strategic in terms of trying to get to their Rolodex for Good Scout luncheons and Friends of Scouting and other
financial
developmental reasons. But yeah, I mean, essentially as the, you know, program chair, which makes it seem a lot cooler. All of the activities within the district, both Cub Scout, Boy Scout, well, adventuring, varsity, Sea Scouts, kind of roll up under me. I then have responsibility for the activities chair, the advancement chair, training chair, to make sure that we follow the promise or deliver the promise.
Yeah, that would. Okay.
That's kind of interesting. We all serve district positions as well as our own individual units.
Yeah, I've been doing this district, the program chair, for 2 years now. The 2 years prior to that, I was actually the Twilight Camp director for our district, and that's how I got promoted.
Mm-hmm. Oh, a promotion.
Or demoted. Yeah.
We don't have a Twilight camp like that I see out on the Twitter sphere that a lot of people do. We're just a very large council in comparison to others, and we have a lot of.
I'm a registered scouter and follow the Boy Scouts of America's guidelines and bylaws. This podcast is in no way supported or endorsed by Boy Scouts of America. The Scouter Adam podcast is only here to help and inform. And to act as a journal of my scouting activities. The Scouter Adam podcast is independently operated and is in no way sponsored or endorsed by or affiliated with the Boy Scouts of America. The opinions expressed herein are those of the Scouter Adam podcast alone and in no way represent the views of the Boy Scouts of America.
Thing for Cub Scouts in the council.
Scouter Adam podcast is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Non-Derivative 3.0 United States license.
So no day camp or anything like that either?
Oh, we have day camps during the summertime. So yeah, so like mid-June to mid-August, we have day camps. And then some of the smaller districts that are further away from Portland, Oregon, they have their own little day camps, like 3 and 5 day day camps down there. So
we do have that. Essentially, the Twilight Camp, the way we run it, is actually the week before or the week after traditional day camp. Mm-hmm. And it's run from 5 p.m. until 9 p.m. And it's the same type of program. They go out, you know, we have a local camp. We set up program stations. They shoot BB guns. They shoot bows and arrows. They do a craft. They do knot tying. They do fishing. They do hiking. And they kind of rotate through. So it's really a day camp esque atmosphere. Mm-hmm. But it's just in the evening, which helps getting volunteers and getting adult help because they don't have to take off the whole week to participate. And we'll get close to 200 adults for close to 350 boys helping out throughout the week at the various, you know, stations, the ranges, the, you know, fishing hole, all of that stuff.
So how does that compare to day camp attendance? Is that more than day camp or less?
Well, in our district, we run about 350 for Twilight Camp, and day camp runs probably south of 200.
Wow.
So over the course of the 2 weeks, you know, and of course both camps are combined number-wise and financial-wise for the council reporting, but we'll pull in close to, you know, 500 boys. for the 2 week period. Now the day camp runs traditional, like, you know, 8 to 4 type of thing. The twilight camp's a little bit more popular. It's been pretty much, I guess about 10, 12 years ago, there was a group of people that kind of made it this well-oiled machine, and it's basically a camp in a box now. And so the director gets a big binder, and they get a CD of all kinds of files, and they change the names based on the themes of the, or based on the theme, they'll change the name of the areas, the rotation groups. Mm-hmm. And then they'll throw in a couple, 3 belt loops here and there, aside from the standard BB archery fishing. Then just kind of run it from there. And it kind of runs itself as long as you get the people to staff it, which I found to be, you know, fairly simple, although a little bit time consuming.
That's pretty interesting, because our day camps, well, all the camps out here are, you've got a director and you've got a couple of paid people from the council, and then most all are scouts. You know, you have to be a certain rank to be on staff, and then if you're coming back for the second, third year, then they get paid like a, I don't want to say a stipend, but it's not very much, but they get the experience. And the day camps lead into the resident camps, so it's staffed that way. So that's kind of an interesting deal, because I would think, and when I did Tigers camp, that was 5 days, and it was 107 degrees one day, and we just, I texted some of the parents. I said, "Is it okay if your kid has Gatorade?" And they said, "Sure." And so next day we had Gatorade. They all had blue tongues and faces, because I was just like, you know, I'm the cub master. I'm in charge of the health and welfare of these kids, and I don't want them, you know, going off to the hospital. But we were in the trees and stuff like that, so it wasn't too bad. But that's pretty interesting. I like that.
Yeah, I like that idea. I may have to steal that one.
Yes, this is Phil's. I'm going to steal that show.
Hey, I don't borrow. You know, that's anything out there for scouting that we're all there to share, right?
Exactly.
I do my point in giving out ideas. But I'm not proud to say I don't steal stuff from others.
Well, I've taken a lot of stuff from everybody. So, okay, so we've got the intro down, and now I know what a twilight camp is, and I think that's pretty cool. I like it.
Yeah, I mean, unlike, I think 2 years ago when the Twilight movies were really big and people thought, oh, Twilight, oh, vampires and what, werewolves? No, it's just Twilight in the evening. I had to explain that a little bit, but yeah.
Cub Scouts, it's a snack. No. Okay, so we've got 3 other agenda items that we're going to try and do. Phil came up with one when we were emailing back and forth, and I'm going to put this up first, of how a pack fails. The next one is going to be the goal of your program that we each kind of run, and I know Phil's the scout master, so it's boy led, so he just sits back and drinks coffee.
No, I can tell you how I work with Cub Scouts. I have no problem with that.
You delegate.
We still have a role in the Cub Scout program as a Boy Scout troop.
I know. Teasing. So, let's start off with the pack fails, because you've got kind of a just your email and Twitter contact.
Yeah, I've got some experience in that one. Yeah. All right, so I guess I can lead off with I'm not happy to say I came from a pack that has now failed, or is on the very verge of failing. 5-6 years ago, someone started the pack as a brand new pack. They separated from another local pack and built a great program. We all signed up, we drank the Kool-Aid, ran a great, you know, bunch of kids, and you know, we all put through 4 years of Cub Scout program. We started as wolves, so a lot of us did. And we all moved on to Boy Scouts, and now there's not much of a pack left. And I can honestly say that, you know, it's partly my fault and the other parents and leaders that moved on with me. It's part of our faults of why it's failed. At the peak, I think we had 25 scouts in our pack. And if I remember correctly, the last registered amount, we had 5 left in the pack currently. 3 of them are second year Weeblos, and the other 2 are first year Weeblos. So we have no new scouts joining the pack. I think the biggest reason for a lot of the failure is something I learned in Wood Badge, you have to leave a legacy. And we didn't do that. We didn't go out and seek our replacements. And, we didn't have a Cub Master. The Cub Master that was there, her boys had moved on to Boy Scouts 2 years before. She stayed behind. But, there's only so long you can ask someone to do 2 roles and serve a unit that they don't have scouts in. And it really hurt once she left, and once, I left as committee chair and our den leaders left. It left, it was probably 75% of the leadership at that point was all moving on to Boy Scouts. So we didn't do a good job of replacing ourselves. So, but then I had made a kind of a list of, actually my wife, we went to the program and training conference that our council held this last weekend, and she sat in on a class called Unit Lifesaving, and took some notes of some of the warning signs of, that it shows that a unit's, struggling. And looking back at this is a lot of the things that we did as well, or that are going on now. They cancel meetings. We don't have participation, so we cancel meetings or move meetings.
You mean like committee meetings?
The biggest one, not enough leaders. We all struggle with not getting enough leaders. Not being trained. Man, we have the biggest trouble in our district of getting people to training. They don't see the benefit of it. They don't see what it adds to their program or how it helps. They just look at it as a burden. And I don't know about you guys, but every training I've gone through is open my eyes of what's possible, or what you're doing that you shouldn't be doing, or what you are doing that you're doing well, and connects you with lots of like-minded people. So training's a big one, and people, if they're not willing to be trained, they shouldn't be leaders, in my opinion. And then not holding. Yeah, go ahead.
I kind of faded out here for 1 second when you had.
I'm that boring.
Kids. You're not boring. It's a good thing this is not video. I'm like, come on, hurry up, Phil. No. My question is, when they were canceling meetings, was that just committee meetings that no one was showing up to, or like?
No, they were canceling den meetings and pack meetings, and it was bad.
Okay.
Because
committee meetings I can kind of understand, just for holidays and things kind of, because we do a bunch of email conversations a bit, but we really haven't canceled a meeting like that. We might have tabled it, but not den or pack meetings. So yeah, that's a giant warning sign.
Yeah, I mean, they've canceled some pack or some committee meetings as well, and part of that is you need to schedule around these events and holidays. And, we schedule roundtables up here. I just had to move our roundtable this month due to school programs and, kids' concerts and stuff like that. But we don't just flat out say, hey, no, we're not going to do it. We find the best time and make it available to the most people as possible. But, we don't just go out and flat out cancel something. So if you get one scout there, then you go forward. They've canceled a number of committee meetings, and the only ones that sit down and on are it's unfortunate that the leadership in our pack is mostly from the same family. So it's a mother and her parents, so they're grandparents of one of the kids in the pack, and so they can kind of meet on the side and together, and I talk a lot, so you know, having a committee meeting isn't a lot of value. I mean, I still sit on the committee for the pack, and I've been out for 3 years, so I still show up every committee meeting and make sure that we have input. So, but yeah, I think the biggest thing is we have to get over ourselves and our own ego that we're the best person in the unit, and we have to actively go out and search for our replacement starting day one. We get excited and energized about the program, and we want to control it. And I've got another local pack that, you know, good friend of mine, he's a super energetic guy. He's the Cub Master. He's doing great things. He just got invited to be on Wood Badge staff this year. And I look at him, and he's got 2 years before his oldest son is ready to cross over to Boy Scouts, and he hasn't started looking for his replacement yet, and that scares me.
I've done that. I mean, I tried to get one guy, and he was like, no, he's got a busy schedule. I think I've got a lady who wants to do it.
Announcements.
Okay. Hang on, let me get a form. I think Eric just popped in. Let's see if we can get Eric.
Don't hang up on me this time.
I'm not.
I see his little phone ringing. Hey, Eric?
Eric?
I see his phone picked up. But...
Yeah.
If I talk in a different voice, can I pretend to be Eric? I have no idea what Eric sounds like.
You can try, but I know what he looks like or what he sounds like. He's actually my district.
Not fair.
Yeah, it was funny. I guess we can talk about him in front of his back.
I can hear you but can't speak. Well,
that's open your mouth, Eric. It's okay.
Turn your mic on, dude.
Let the words come out.
He's typing.
That doesn't help for speaking.
He says he's too afraid. Well,
afraid of what? What? This isn't being recorded, Eric. It's okay.
Yeah, it's fine. You're amongst friends. Okay.
Well since he can't...
Does he have a microphone?
I don't know, but... I was just going to say, since he can't talk, it was actually funny. We're in the same district, but we met... through Twitter.
Hilarious.
Following each other because of, you know, who follows who, right? So you start following other scouters. And then I think I had tweeted something about needing a position in the district, and he's like, oh well, yeah, and I guess he started putting two and two together, and then we started emailing, and then, you know, at a round table we finally met, and then we ran we participated in Twilight Camp together and stuff and whatnot. So he's a good friend now.
Yeah. Small world, huh?
He's typing that as his headset's not working, he's going to mess with it and see what he can do. So if he starts yelling, we'll know it's him. So, all right. Oh, wait a minute. No, he died. All right, he's not there anymore. And I can't remember what we were talking about, but it was training.
Finding your replacement.
Oh, finding your replacement. Thank you. I started on mine a long time ago, and I'm trying to target the tigers and wolves just because they're going to be there the longest. And I think I have a lady who's going to do it. My thing is, since I'm kind of the Uber scouter, And my committee chair just thinks I'm kind of nuts because I apparently know everything.
He's not the only one that thinks you're nuts, by the way.
Thanks. Talking to my wife, great. but I want to get a couple other, like, assistant scout or cub masters to help do it, because I really have not missed a PAC meeting for like 3 years now. So
yeah, what I've seen, and I'm not one to talk because I'm unable to do this myself, is you have to totally relinquish and just let someone take over for a meeting. And if someone wants to step up and try being the Cub Master for a meeting or take on a certain portion of the program, mm-hmm. you gotta just let them run with it. And I did a poor job. I had an assistant scoutmaster, and you know, they've moved on to a different troop for a number of different reasons. But I didn't do a good job of giving him a job. Mm-hmm. He was just there to back me up and kind of stand there. And now looking back at it, that's the total wrong thing to do. And I got to get over my ego and thought that I can do everything better than everybody else, and just let someone else do it. And I look at it that someday I'm not going to be Scoutmaster. I don't know if it's next year, 30 years from now, whatever it is, but I need to let some other people kind of step up into that. And that's the only way you can have a unit succeed. Because if one person's running it or two people are running it, it'll die. And especially a Cub Scout pack where you guys move on as your boys, you know, grow up. That's a tough one.
Yeah.
And I would concur with that. You know, last summer of 2010, it was prior to that. Kind of the whole school year, I had, probably the wrong approach, but really just started, laying out for the other parents in the pack that, you know, hey, my son's going to be joining during spring recruiting of, you know, spring of 2011. So the fall of 2010. So when we start up, I'm relinquishing the committee chair. I'm going to be a committee member until the spring, and then I'll be a Tiger leader. So someone needs to step up, or someone needs, you know, I'll give you the handbook, I'll give you the rundown, you can shadow me. And fortunately I was able to, you know, kind of narrow it down, and someone, you know, showed interest and was willing to step up. And I said, okay, you're going to do it. I'll be your consultant. You can come to me with questions, but you're going to be in the forefront. You're going to be doing that committee chair. You're going to be planning the meetings. You're going to be doing the rechartering, et cetera, et cetera. And I really attempted to step back and let her take over in that role and make it hers, because a lot of the parents had seen me, you know, doing it. And we're a pack where, you know, the committee chair was the stronger of the two top leaders. Basically the Cub Master was the front man. And I'm steering the ship, but I'm also providing him, you know, everything that he needs to be essentially doing in terms of the pack. You know, here's the game we're going to play. Here's the Cub Master minute that you'll need to read. Here's the, you know, whatever. And I know there's packs that kind of the reverse is this, you know, the reverse is true. You know, the Cub right. Master is the stronger of the two, and the committee chair just kind of stays in the back and rows. And our pack kind of still follows that mold. The committee chair kind of runs the whole thing, and the Cub Master is the front man and shows up to take his spotlight. But it was a little bit difficult last year because of our Cub Master situation where, you know, I'm trying to step back, from being that, you know, front role. Because I would, you know, at the pack meetings, I would get up and I would do the announcements and I would do, you know, the administrative stuff and let the Cub Master play and have fun with the kids. But it was kind of difficult as we, you know, transitioned to, you know, Cub Master out. And then I was back in that forefront. And I really was trying to step back. Now this year has been a lot easier as the Tiger Den leader. I can truly just be the Tiger Den leader. We had a really good recruiting class. So we nearly doubled in size. So about half of our families are brand new, and they don't know me as the committee chair, which I think is a good thing because I can just be the Tiger Den leader and kind of be an anonymous thing, But yeah, to that point, you really just you need to delegate it and kind of step back and let them go. And there have been actually, you know, a couple pack meetings that I've not been able to attend even as the Tiger Den leader, but I've, you know, kind of put another parent in charge, and I think it's helped me. feel a little bit better about, okay, I'm not in the forefront, which is a good thing, and that there are other people that can run it and the pack still stays there.
But I bet, I don't know about your experience, but for mine, it was probably tough for you to sit back and let somebody else take the reins and not step in and correct them or offer your advice or whatever. And that's the toughest part, at least from my experience.
Okay. I think Eric's trying to get back in. He and I are texting back and forth. So everybody can read this. This is great.
So now we have like dead air as we're reading the messages.
Exactly. Hang on just a minute. I got to go over to Google Plus. Yeah, and that's all great information for me, because my goal is to, once I get this person, which I think is our Tiger Den leader, we need to cultivate that den leader, that replacement, because that's, you know, that's the issue. They can't be both a cub master and a den leader, because that's really hard to do.
Right.
So towards the end of the year, I'll have this person or people say, okay, I want you to do this month, and you can do whatever you want. So.
Yeah, I would just flat out go and say, hey, I'm going to be here this month, but can you run the pack meeting?
Yeah.
And just, even if they're still the Tiger Den leader, mm-hmm. and let them have some of that, because, you know, I know you've only got a year and a half left before Elliot, you know, moves on to Boy Scouts. And
yeah, I'm done in March.
Yeah. Oh, March of this year?
2013.
Okay. Yeah. So you got a year, you know, a year and a half.
Yeah.
And that last year, you should be able to, in my opinion, spend, you know, your time working with him, getting ready for Boy Scouts and not running pack meetings.
Yeah, and we're starting to do that a little. Well, we're just in the thick of it. So, well, we're just in the thick of being a Weebelo and learning that.
Yeah, and that's a tough transition for a lot of Cub Scouts. There's a lot of new, fun, exciting things to do, but then there's a lot of changes because the den leader's not always the one running everything. You know, they've got some more responsibilities, and parents can't sign books and all that kind of stuff.
Well, the one thing I've learned is there is a Weebelos badge counselor. There's a Weeblo activity badge counselor.
Poor Eric.
I know.
Hi, Eric.
Well, as we take a pause here, I'm trying to get Eric's phone number. I have a speakerphone, regular speakerphone, like the old-fashioned way. So if I can, there he just typed his number. If I can get his number, I can call him and put him on speaker right next to my laptop, and then he can talk the old-fashioned way through the new.
Don't you have to have like four tin cans, one for this side and the other side, and then?
I find this horribly ironic.
That we're using a regular phone to Skype now.
Yes. Hey. Before there was high tech, there was low tech.
Exactly.
So. Now, right now, we have broken tech.
Yeah. Oh, well. Hey, you know, be prepared.
We're rigidly flexible.
Oh, Semper Gumby. And that's the thing. Within any unit, you've got to look for your replacement and cultivate them into that field. Because my thought is, for the past 3 years, I've done the summertime activity award events, just figure them out and kind of plan them and get people out there to do them. And so my goal is to have that person or team, if there's just assistant cub masters, to find what we're going to do, and then they can do it, because
yep.
it's part of the patch to get the cub master knot, which is going away, because you get the scout master's key or something like that.
Scouter's key, yeah.
Scouter's key, that's another show. But it's a highly revered key, so it's not like, here, have a patch. It's been around for like 25 years, I heard, so it's a very honorable one.
I still don't have one.
Well, you have to have it for like 3 years. You've got two
yeah,
more years.
Still working on it. Yeah. Still working on it.
The scouter's key?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we've got old technology and new technology. So I've dialed in. Eric's sitting here on my speakerphone, my regular phone that you plug into the wall like Alexander Graham Bell invented. So go ahead and say hello, Eric.
I can hear you.
I can barely hear him.
I'm afraid that might not go too well.
I'm trying to get the speaker as close as I can.
You know what this reminds me of? Buck Rogers in the across the 23rd century, the Tweaky and Dr. Thermopolis hanging right on it.
There you go.
Right on.
If this was 1950, we'd be high tech.
Is that any better, Phil?
No, not so much. Sorry.
Hey, Jeff, I appreciate it. Why don't I go ahead and hang up, and I'll keep messing with this.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
That'll work. We'll get it eventually.
Yeah.
Nice to meet you, Eric.
nice to meet you, Eric.
Sounds like he's calling from space.
NASA has
all right, we'll let you play with that, Eric. Yeah.
All right,
bye. Take care.
Yeah, next time. We're still live, so you can call us anytime. all right, so let's. I think we've kind of got the idea of how a pack can fail and some of the warning signs, but let's, just for the sake of time, let's move on to the goal within your program, besides finding the new people and just telling them that it really is an hour a week. What's your goal within your program? And either which one of you can start off, and then let me start off since it's my show.
It's your show.
It's my show. I need an intern here somewhere. So when I took over as from Tiger Den Leader to Cub Master, I really didn't have any transition time. It was just, there you go. And I read a bunch of stuff on the internet, kind of got some of the ideas, but I just really didn't know what I wanted to do. And that was in 2009, and I realized that there was this thing called Wood Badge, and I hadn't a clue what Wood Badge was, which is actually probably a blessing in disguise, because I had no preconceived notions of. I thought it was just training, which was that was the case, but and from that I learned that there are a lot of things you have to do. But there's a lot of things that you can do of what makes you excited and how you want to progress. And my goal was, we just sat in a gym. That's pretty much all we did. We did, we were supposed to do an overnight. That never happened. We did a wreath fundraiser, the popcorn fundraiser. And we went to a pumpkin patch, and we did Pinewood Derby, and that's pretty much it. And I thought, wow, it's kind of boring. And So my ticket items were to bring in more ceremonies. My troop guide told me that we need to sing, and you know, that type of stuff. I also wanted to do Leave No Trace. I wanted to get the guys outside and kind of running around the gym, not in a haphazard way, but doing stations on a lot of different things. So I sing now. I sing horrible.
I'm sure they love it.
Yeah. Well, Phil's heard me sing, so.
Yes, I have heard you sing.
Yes, I have a video of you singing, too.
That is true, and it is on YouTube.
It is.
And people keep watching it.
Awesome. I picked up the Native American flute. I play that. I've done a couple of crossover ceremonies, so because the OA was not able to show up. And I think my overriding goal is to put fun into anything that's going on within the pack. And one thing that helped was going to, it's now called Program and Training Conference in our council. But last year they had put the outing and scouting. And for like the first 10 minutes, the guy talked about what we were going to do, kind of lay the groundwork. And then we went outside and did the rest of the class outside. And to me, that was amazing because it's like, I don't have to be in the gym the entire time. So the last three pack meetings, we just went outside. Did a kind of orienteering map compass thing, but it was a treasure hunt. We did a bike rodeo for the last pack meeting, and I can't remember what we did for the other one. But we just briefly went outside, talked about the weather. Oh, it was a tsunami because Japan had the tsunami. But my thing was to get people out and to do things more sports oriented. We've had a camp out every year. We've had more service projects, and this year we've adopted a medical unit that's in Afghanistan. So we're in the middle of doing stuff like that. So, and we're also doing Danielle's skits and songs just about every pack meeting this year. The guys have got flags. I think Phil just died. Phil? Uh-oh. His phone just...
Eric, are you able to talk now?
I think I am.
Hey, there you
hey.
Are.
Hey!
Hey!
Hello!
Okay.
So I think Adam I had to kick Phil me. Off no. to do it.
Nope.
Yes, you did. There's a limit. And Adam hung up on me to answer Jeff's call, and he hung up on me to answer your call. So obviously the Scoutmaster is at the bottom of the totem pole.
Yeah, you're seeing where you rank.
No. We yes. invited you to a pack meeting, so. Yeah.
Hey, I go to plenty of pack meetings. I love pack meetings. They make me sing at pack meetings.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I've heard. Well, nice to just finally get you on here, Eric.
It sounding like I'm on the planet. That's nice.
Yeah.
That's good.
Oh, good. Well, let me just finish up with the program side of this, and then we'll get you introduced.
Are you still recording? That's the question.
I'm still recording.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, I'm still recording.
He just disconnects you, Phil. He doesn't disconnect the record.
Nice.
Hey, Adam, next time you come for dinner, we're having hot dogs.
Right. Great. All right. Owl hot dogs. So the big thing about my program is I just want to interject fun. And if there's something that I haven't tried, I'm going to try it. And I picked that stuff up from Jeff and Eric and Phil and Darren and Cubmaster Chris and all those guys that just kind of chime in with. And even Arlen.
Who's not here.
Yeah.
He's probably trying to still calculate what the temperature is.
I
or eating his eating the cake at his parade, right?
There, yeah, he's at the parade.
Yeah, he's the smartest cub master I know. He makes what? Oh, his wood badge ticket was to create a wind tunnel for a Pinewood Derby track.
Doesn't everybody have one?
I use a hairdryer to dry the paint, but that's about it. But yeah, he's too smart to be a cub master.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. So, well, the hilarious thing is his pack number is 223 and mine's 221. So I'm a little bit ahead and he's a little slow on that side. But yeah, he's like the smartest cub master out there. And we were actually supposed to meet at Philmont this summer, but I was a troop guide instead of going to Philmont. So we would have gone to the same class together.
Yeah, since I didn't get the call for wood badge this year, I'm still trying to find a way to get down to Philmont to go hang out with them this year.
Nice.
But, yeah, that's a pretty hefty ticket for my wife and I to both go.
Yeah. Well, you should just come to Portland instead.
Hey, working on that this summer, man. Trust me.
All right.
Cool. Weekend trip with the family.
All right. I'm there. We're just segmenting this way and that way for programs. Well, so Eric's come in. Why don't we have him introduce himself and, you know, tell us about yourself, Eric. Why are you here tonight?
I appreciate the invite. My name's Eric McIntosh, and I'm the Cub Master of Pack 751 in Southgate, Kentucky. We're just south of Cincinnati on the in northern Kentucky.
Isn't that southern Ohio?
Pretty much, actually.
I prefaced that earlier, Eric, in saying that, yeah, the folks in northern Kentucky actually call it South Cincinnati for the most part.
Anything inside that 275 loop is greater Cincinnati, and yeah, things, it's a diverse state.
You have to go about 15 miles south of us, and then you actually get into the Kentucky part of Kentucky.
That is true.
Okay, so you're the Cub Master.
So, yeah, came in. My oldest son is a Weeblos 2. And started off as the den leader with his group. The gentleman who was the cub master when I came in, his youngest son aged out last year. So this year I'm finding myself pulling double duty as the Weeblos 2 den leader and cub master. And goal number one has been to just keep the ship afloat. And I liked how you mentioned putting the outing and scouting. We've tried to do a lot of that same stuff. We started a hiking club last June and actually just had our 7th monthly hike this past Sunday. So we're trying to do some things like that to get the kids, you know, outside and active and give them something to look forward to. And also starting to see a lot of good parent involvement. We had one of the dads came to us with a fundraiser idea. A couple of the parents are trying to arrange a visit to a nursing home for the kids to sing carols next week. So, we're getting a lot of people involved, and that's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, I've got a friend out in Colorado Springs that mentioned his son is a tiger this year, and that's one of the things they do is go sing at a retirement home. And I was like, great, we're gonna do that too. So I mean, that's a belt loop service requirement, so many little things that you can knock off, because that's, I guess, in the part of the program I always try to get to see, every action that we do has a requirement that you can check off on it. And sometimes it's just we're gonna go out and have fun and there's no requirements to be had off of it. But every boy's got to advance, and if you can tie in an activity to that requirement, you know, the boys love all the patches that we can hand out, and you know, all the fun little widgets that we find to give them, because they'll do anything for a patch.
We'll do anything for a patch.
Thank you, Ed McMahon.
Yes.
But yeah, I think that's a great idea. Those little things that you can do.
Yeah, and I got the idea probably, I think, from a post of yours on Google Plus. And, you know, not like it's a groundbreaking idea to have kids sing carols, but, you know, that's not something our pack has done in the past. Mm-hmm. I sent an email out last Friday. I sent it on a early Friday afternoon. I said, here's the date we're going to do this, and here are the songs that they should learn. I don't know anything else. I said, you know, here's the date we're shooting for. I don't know what time. I don't even know where we're going to do it yet. But mark that on your calendar and let's have them start getting prepared. Yeah. Within a half an hour, two parents had sent in and said, you know, I've got a parent at this place. Another one said they had a grandparent at another place. And I said, great, contact them, find out what time we can come, and we'll nail it down. And it's not the most organized thing that's going on the surface, but you know, just trying to get these things to happen and not have to put it off until next year.
You know, what I have found, I made a wood badge ticket out of this, and Adam knows this more than anybody else, but singing is something that we think the scouts don't care about, but singing is an essential part of scouting. I've spent the last 2 years at Cub Scout Day Camp as a scoutmaster teaching songs and skits to scouts, and I get stopped in the grocery store and we sing this song called the Moose Song, and it's something I learned at a non-scouting camp, but it was something I picked up. And
how does it go?
I'm not gonna sing. you're trying to sucker me into that, and I'm not gonna sing. They can go check out the YouTube video.
What's the name of it?
Dumoose. And you sing it in a Jamaican accent is the best way to do it. And you'd have to have video. It's the only way to appreciate it. But, you know, I sing that song at day camp, and I get stopped in the grocery store, and kids like, hey, Mom, that's the Moose guy. And it's because I sing that song. I kid you not, it has happened multiple times. And I made a wood badge ticket out of making a songbook for my troop. And this last year on the way to summer camp, they stole my songbook out of my backpack, and we sang scout songs all the way to summer camp. Nice. And it realized what it is an essential part of those kids having fun. So singing Christmas carols, they will love it.
Well, that's what we did. We had our scouting for food thing the other day, and I just said, okay, we're going to start off. And we never really met together as a group, but this time we did, because we used to just go to our areas, get the food, and then take it to the church. But this time we all got together. They all had, like, donuts and hot chocolate to get all the sugar going. But we sang Frosty the Snowman. That's one of our songs, because we're going to do that, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Jingle Bells, and we're going to end with Cub Scout Vespers. So, because you got to throw in a scout song. So we've got four songs, and we've been invited to have dessert with the retirement home veterans group. So I thought that was really, really fun. Anybody else got ideas about what their goal of their program is? I know Eric's just talked about that service project, and we kind of expanded upon that, but Jeff and Phil?
Well, I'll jump in. My goal has been, and maybe it's, you know, Norman Rockwellian, but to provide the boys the experiences and the fun and the activities that I remember as a scout. Remember doing as a scout. Now, whether or not it was what we actually did, or again, if it was the Norman Rockwell-esque of my memory, of what I think we should have done, or I think that we did. and that was my main purpose after coming in as the committee chair and learning kind of what the PEC did or really didn't do. And you know, kind of laid it out and said, hey, we're going to do some type of outing or activity every month in addition to the DEN meetings, in addition to the PEC meeting. We're going to go to summer camp, resident camp. Now, the first year we started off, it was called Fun with Sun, and which is basically a weekend, you know, dad and lad or mom and me type of an activity. But then the last 2 years, we've gone to resident camp, which is, you know, 3 nights, 4 days, I think, or something to that effect. I said, we're going camping in addition to the Twilight camp, you know, because that's pretty easy. Mom and dad drop the kids off, you know, go home, come back 4 hours later. You know, really it's just to give them the experiences that without scouting, they're not going to otherwise do. We went and took a tour of the Cincinnati Reds ballpark and museum back at the beginning of November. Most of those kids probably wouldn't have gotten there if we didn't go with the pack. You know, we've gone ice skating, we've gone, you know, taking, doing service projects for a local, you know, senior center. You know, we've, you know, done a whole bunch of stuff that, you know, otherwise they wouldn't have that opportunity. I wish we could, you know, sing and do more kind of that stuff at pack meetings. When I was the interim, I did try to introduce that. I would do some type of, you know, teach the boys a cheer each month, you know, based on the theme, based on, you know, what we were doing within the pack meeting. You know, we try to sing some stuff. I probably was more successful as camp director. And Eric could probably, I can't remember if you were, Eric, were you there when I was camp director? I know you were up in the front and center for Weeblos.
Yes, I was.
But yeah, so, you know, 2010, with my second year's camp director, our theme was 100 years of scouting. And for that, I brought in a, you know, scouting history tidbit. And, you know, during the first part of camp, you know, I said, hey, you know, in fact, actually one of the days was Dan Beard's birthday, which is our council's namesake, who grew up in Covington, which is right in our district. Mm-hmm. So I said, hey, you know what? It was his birthday today. He would have been 100 and some odd years old. Or let's sing happy birthday. So we sang happy birthday, and we, you know, brought in a couple other songs. We sang at least one song a day. We did the music belt loop, so they had to sing, you know, that type of thing. But I made that a point of, you know, at least at the camp level, hey, we're going to do this, and they're going to learn something. They're going to, you know, hopefully appreciate something, and again, get that experience that they wouldn't have otherwise done. And when people ask me, what did you get out of scouting? And that's what I tell them. You know, I went to Philmont twice. I went to the National Jamboree. I was on staff. I hiked both ends of the Appalachian Trail, about 50 miles each, but I've not hiked anywhere in the middle. so that's kind of a claim to fame. But that's really been my goal, at least for my son and as well as the others, is to, you know, let's plan activities that, you know, they don't get in school. They don't get in other activities or other organizations.
And I think that's the key there, and I'm gonna bring in some of those older guys from Scout Nation, Brian Spellman. He, in one of his blog posts or whatever, he talked about scouting gives you the opportunity, and it's an opportunity to do things that, you know, you wouldn't do, you know, as a family, or you wouldn't have the nerve to do it. I mean. Because you can get in. I mean, we got into a TV station because it's like, hey, I got a tiger group. You know, it's not like, hey, I'm just a dad with a son. We want to come look at your TV cameras. That would never happen. I think getting into the Cincinnati Reds, that opportunity was there because you were a scout group.
Yep.
And that's, scouting gives you the opportunity to create fun. And sometimes the parents have even, they have the guilty fun pleasure of tagging along and like, I'm on the field of the Cincinnati Reds, you know?
Yeah, I think there were a lot more parents, I think, a little bit more excited than the kids, especially kind of going through the museum, because they've got a whole bunch of artifacts. And you know, Phil and Adam, I don't know how much you're aware of the Big Red Machine, but, you know, that was a huge team in the 70s, and a lot of us grew up, you know, idolizing that team, and they had a big Johnny Bench display, and you know, so it was really cool. Mm-hmm. And Adam, you know, mentioned, you know, the requirement of the Tigers to do some type of, you know, I call it the audiovisual requirement, right? So they need to go see it somewhere, yep. You know, TV station, radio station, newspaper, whatever. Yep. And we have visited, you know, our ABC and Fox affiliates here, yep. The stations. We've talked to the weatherman. They put them up on the green screen. They show them all that stuff.
Yeah.
We've done a radio station in January. We're going to our local newspaper, the printing press, mm-hmm. You know, because we're that scout group. And you know, mom, dad with the kids aren't necessarily going to go up to do that. Now, they may go camping. They may go to a national park. They may do, you know, the other things. They may go swimming. They may go wherever. But we try to find those activities that, you know, aren't really on a parent's or a family's radar.
Yeah, and well, the other thing is like what a lot of this stuff that we read, you know, it's in their books. You have to do requirements. We treat it like school. And I know from a Boy Scout perspective, you know, merit badges and everything like that is, you know, very school like. What kid wants to be in school for another 2 hours at, you know, an hour and a half going to a den meeting or whatever? They want to go do stuff. You know, my son went to a top secret submarine base close to where I live. And, you know, they had to like pat the kids down to make sure they didn't have cameras and stuff. They thought that was anymore. The cool. Well, yeah. But, yeah, they won't let you in. Trust me, there's armed guards out there. But, you know, what kid gets to go see top secret submarines? And my son, 5 years later, still talks about that.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, there's that small little naval base right where you live in the middle of Idaho, which is landlocked, but that's...
It's in the northern part of Idaho, but that's okay.
whatever. It's next to Canada, so...
We are almost to Canada.
Yeah. Well, just so you guys know this, since I travel around so much, I've got to hang out with Phil and his family at round tables and at their house, and he actually lives very close...
Oh, don't tell everybody this. Don't tell everybody that.
Okay, well,
I'm just kidding.
Go ahead. Well, he can tell us, but then he'll have to kill us later, right?
There we go. You have to edit it out.
Yeah. Well, he lives next to an old Jamboree site, so.
Yeah. 1969 National Jamboree was held at Farragut State Park, which literally is a half a mile from my front door. And there was 50,000 scouts and Mrs. Baden-Powell appearance at that World Jamboree in 72 or 73. And yeah, there's still some stuff out there in Farragut Park that still stands from those jamborees. It's pretty cool.
Hmm. Yeah, I remember seeing your pictures, Adam, from I think Twitter.
Yeah.
When you were out there and kind of, you know, the plaque and stuff like that. And yeah, I mean, it's that type of thing, you know. I just remember as a scout, you know, hiking through Valley Forge National Park, getting a medal while we're doing it, you know, but it was because of a scout function, a scout outing, and you could only get a medal if you were a scout and a registered scout type of thing, and, you know, hiking through Gettysburg and doing, you know, a whole bunch of stuff. Now, I grew up as a scout on the East Coast, so we got to kind of find those neat, cool places here in the Midwest, mm-hmm. South Cincinnati, as it were. Yeah, that's, you know, that continually is my goal. That's what, you know, my goal will be as my older son moves on to Boy Scouts, is to kind of make sure that he's in a troop, that he's going to get that experience, he's going to get those opportunities that he wouldn't have otherwise.
Yeah. It's all about the opportunity. And I think, I mean, we're into this for about an hour and change. Let's move this into the patch of the program, because I think it was Phil again suggesting this, but
sorry.
No, it's all right. You're fine.
It's what we do at Roundtable. It's patch of the month, and I thought it was hilarious that the one I didn't even suggest a patch. Mm-hmm. The one you picked is the one I will be presenting at Roundtable this month.
Yeah.
And I already figured that out 6 weeks ago.
Yeah. Well, and this really, this is a great patch. It's the Cub Scout Outdoor Activity Award, which you can earn 4 years in a row. But it goes along with the program of scouting or Cub Scouts. So I'll just read what the requirements are for the Tiger Cubs, and then Wolves, Bears, and Weebelos, and we can go on to the rest. Complete requirement 5, let's go outdoors. That's 3 outdoor activities. Wolves are 6 essential, assemble the 6 essentials for going outdoors. Then Bears are earn the leave no trace. And Weeblos is the outdoorsman. So, and the big thing with this is you have to go to a camp, like a day camp or a resident camp. That's like the number one overriding thing for a scout to do.
And which then, is the most important thing.
It is.
Them going to camp. In my brief experience in Cub Scouts when I was a kid, that's the only thing I remember is going to resident camp without my parents for, 4 days or whatever it is. I was horribly sick during the whole thing. It was a lousy experience, but that's the only thing I remember from scouting is resident camp.
Yeah. So what are your guys' take on this award and just your experience with it?
Why?
Don't go talk at once.
It was, my son earning it, and it was one of those awards that they advertised or talked about, but it was something that they got just by kind of doing the program and participating in all of these things. I remember he had to organize a service project, and we did a road cleanup thing for it 1 year when he was, I think, a Weeblos scout. And he was the only one in his pack or his den that earned it every year. And you get the little pins to stick on it. And everybody's like, well, how do you earn that? And the next year, everybody, wants to go out and earn it. But it was fun. We got to go out and do stuff as a family and have a blast doing it and getting outdoors.
My Weeblow 2's, he's earned his every year. He earned it his Tiger year. He was able to go to the Twilight Camp as a Tiger. So it's something he's earned every year. I was in that same boat. At first, it's, there are all these different extra awards and patches that you can earn. What I found is a lot of people don't even know that those are out there. So one of the things that I tried to do as a den leader and trying to do now as a Cub Master is at least, and for now, just let them know these things exist. So on our website, put links to all of these things so they can find out that they're there. Like you said, the big one is go to camp. You can't earn that award if you don't go to a day camp or a resident camp. So right there, you're going to lose. Some packs, lots of kids go. With our pack, we usually hit about half. Right there, in our case, we cut down our list of candidates in half just because they didn't go to camp. It's one way that we've tried to encourage them to go and also to be able to recognize that. Adam, you mentioned the requirements there at the start, with the Tiger Cubs, Achievement 5, you have to do that anyway.
Yeah.
If you're going to earn your Tiger rank, you have to do that. With the Wolf Cubs, it's an elective, but that's not difficult. Outdoorsman of Weeblow is very likely going to earn that anyway. So, with a lot of these things, I don't want to make it sound like it's easy, but it's not a whole lot of extra work. You're probably going to go on a hike somewhere at some point anyway.
Should be. Yeah.
Right. And if you're not, there's one problem. Hopefully you're going on enough hikes that you can count this one for something and another one for something else. But
yeah, for my son, it was, you know, that nobody had earned it prior to my son. And then when I looked at it, I actually looked at his, Twilight Camp journal, and it was, there was a copy of all the requirements in the back, and I'm like, oh, well, okay. Now he didn't join until the fall as a Tiger, so he missed out on the quote unquote Tiger year to earn it that way. So he got the flap actually after attending, Twilight Camp as a Wolf, and then completing the Wolf requirements. But you know, the quote unquote elective requirements of that particular award are either what they're doing in scouting anyway, in terms of getting it outdoors, or what they're doing, you know, as boys, you know, play on a sports team, you know, do a service project, you know, go on a swimming outing, you know, go swimming somewhere, you know, and over the course of the summer and early fall, you know, you could easily knock out the quote unquote elective requirements as long as you've gone to camp. And then once you've gotten your rank requirement for that particular award, then you're good to go. Yeah, I mean, they're doing it already. And so I'm like, well, hey, he earned it, so let's get the pocket flap. And that's a really cool thing. Oh, where'd you get that? As soon as they, you know, my wife sewed it on his pocket flap, you know, and then the next year we had an increase in attendance in Twilight Camp. Yep. I don't know if it's a direct result of that, but everybody that went to Twilight Camp at some point throughout the rest of that year got their flap, or in my son's case, he got the device pin. Yeah. As a bear then, you know, and then he's gotten it the last 2 years as one more year as a Weeblos scout.
Yeah.
And what scout won't do something for a patch? I mean, we said that before, but man, they feel good when they, I mean, I remember my son when he did his conservation project, we, you know, adopted a chunk of highway and he had his whole den out here and we cleaned up all the trash and we had everybody back here at the house for a camp out or a cookout kind of thing. And man, he felt so good when he got done with that. And you know, the patch was the least of the thing, but that's why he wanted to do it originally, was the patch. But then, you know, you got to hang out with his friends and do something that's cool and different, and they got to wear the little orange vest walking around the highway, and it was a good time.
Yeah. I mean, the interesting thing is, and you guys are all hitting on this, all the rank requirements, you got to do that anyway. So I'm like, okay, it's not extra credit, it's not extra work, you're doing this anyway for that rank. But if you look at the outdoor activities, I mean, just the Tigers have to do three extra things. And there's one of the Tiger Scouts this year, he earned it over this last weekend because we had this mom and me, which I'm like, well, they're labeling it as a day camp, and I wrestled around with it and I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm gonna give it to you. You're going to a day camp, so he's got that. You know, every year we do the summertime pack award, so anybody who participates gets that because they get the little pin for that if they do all that. For 2 years in a row until they sold the baseball team, a AAA team, we did an outdoor sporting event, which is a baseball plus. They had an overnight that you'd sleep out on the left field and we'd watch a giant movie there. And so that's, you know, attend a pack overnighter, you know. We build it as a pack thing because it was a summertime activity. So, you know, you've knocked out two, three things in 1 day.
Sure. Yeah, you know, the beauty of these awards, and it's what I love about the new Journey to Excellence Award, is it just ensures that the program that you're running is the Boy Scout program or the Cub Scout program. And it just makes sure that you're doing all the things that the program wants us to be doing. And it's a reminder for us leaders to say, hey, oh yeah, we should be going on a hike, or we should be doing a conservation project. Mm-hmm. It's not over and above. It's just ensuring that we're doing the things that we're expecting the boys to be doing.
Yeah.
And that, again, I think, you know, goes back to what I was talking about earlier, is giving those boys the opportunity. If you've got a pack that is active, and that is delivering on the promise, there's no reason why a boy can't earn that. There's no reason why a boy can't earn the National Summertime Pack Award. There's no reason why the boy can't earn his Leave No Trace award. There's no reason why a boy can't earn the World Conservation Award. You know, those are four kind of elective off to the side, you know, award slash patches. Yep. That they can get, you know, without oversimplifying it, just by showing up and
yep.
everything that Pack's doing, you know, with a very active Pack. Now ours is a very active Pack, and I've you know worked to get it there along with the help of the other leaders and parents, because again that's my you know Rockwellian idealism of what a Pack should look like and what a Pack should be. You know, we're doing stuff. You know, if a Pack's not doing stuff, then a Pack's not a Pack, as far as I'm concerned. You know, and you can't just, you know, mail it in. And I hear Packs and groups at, you know, Roundtable, they're like, oh, yeah, you know, we'll have our Pinewood Derby and we'll have our Blue and Gold and then maybe a couple den meetings and then that's it. Like, really? How can you be doing that? You know, what do the boys do the rest of the time? Well, you know, we get meetings canceled or this, that, and the other thing. And, boy, all those red flags just start to fly. You know, it's like, you know, that's really where, you know, it kind of hurts me when I hear that. It's like, you know, gosh, these boys are missing out. And maybe, you know, they get like Adam and it was that's their bad craft, you know, where he, you know, cut his hand up.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a shame.
Yeah.
That happened.
And that's my big thing about making sure that everybody's having fun. But the when you just talked about the Conservation Award and how you cannot not get it, if you're the Cub Master's son or the Den Leader's son, you're going to all those events anyway, so you're going to get it that way just by showing up. And that's how my son got his conservation patch wolf year. And the same with the den leader of the wolf's den leader son got it. So those are the only two kids so far that have gotten it. But in the Weebelo year, you just have to earn 3 pins. But if you earn those 3 pins, it's like it's a hat trick. You do all this work, and oh by the way, here's that purple panda patch that you can put. Our council has the temporary patch is our district patch, so we have to put it on a vest or something. We can't put it on our uniform, but you know he's got it and he's got it on a vest that he wears. But you know it's accidental advancement.
Yeah, but I guess I look at it too as a lot of the den leaders and cub masters and you know all of us aren't aware of. Well, some of us aren't aware of these extra things that they can earn. And I think the purpose for why they're there is to ensure that we are delivering a good program. There's a lot of den leaders until this new Den and Packs resource guide came out meeting. And now they just follow those things verbatim. If you read that thing, it's just exactly what it is you're supposed to be doing to earn rank.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, as Arlen would say, rocket science. But it just ensures that we're doing the right thing, and it makes it easy for us. But the problem is not everybody knows that these things are out there. And as soon as you throw the requirements in front of everybody, it's like, oh, yeah, this is a great idea. I should go on a hike, and they can get this patch. And by doing that, you get boys that are engaged in the program and want to move on to Boy Scouts and eventually be in our community. So we got to make sure that everybody knows that these things are out there, which is why my wonderful wife suggested this not so long ago, of, you know, patch of the month. Mm-hmm. And we've been doing it at Roundtable. And, man, I've got suggestions for the next 6 months of things I've got to talk about because people wanted to know about, well, what about this? What about that?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's something I've struggled with. Had to just been with my den, and what I'm trying to do with the pack now is getting that awareness up, I guess, with the other den leaders and with parents especially, you know, to let them know these things are out there. Like you said, a lot of these they can almost stumble into without even focusing on that badge. On the other hand, my son's tiger, you know, like you said, with the the Cub Master, the den leader's kids, a lot of times they're just there anyway. It's easier for them to get. We had a pack meeting that we had a somebody from the Red Cross come in and talk about emergency preparedness, and there's an emergency preparedness award.
Yep.
So my son's Tiger Den, all the boys that were there, I sent an email out to the parents. I said, your son has completed all the requirements except you just need to ask him to explain to you what he learned today.
Yeah.
You know, there's no grading it. There's no right or wrong. Just in his own words, what did he learn? After he does that, let me know. We'll get him his pen.
Yep.
My son was the only one who got his.
Yeah. Well, that's sad.
And we had done the same thing with belt loops. I had the boy that said, who played on a soccer team? And a bunch of them raised their hands and said, you earned your belt loop. Said, if you know, it's practice for 30 minutes, playing a game and learn about the rules. That's it. If you play on a soccer team, you did more than that.
Yeah.
Tell your mom and dad to let me know and we'll get you your belt loop ordered.
Yep.
Same thing for basketball, baseball. We didn't have to order a single belt loop, unfortunately. So I think a lot of it was just kind of, you know, making a big deal about it in the pack meetings with the presentations. You know, I know a lot of times, you know, we focus on immediate recognition and even want to get it to them at a den meeting. But as long as they're okay with it, the bigger deal that you can make about that, the other boys see it, you know, the parents see it, and they want in on that.
Yep.
So that's one of the things I'm trying to do.
Well, that's the thing with just recruiting. It's like, well, my son's in baseball and soccer and football and, you know, whatever else. It's like, we've got belt loops for that. We've got badges for stuff like that. You know, if you get the belt loops as a Weebelo, that rolls into the Weebelo's activity pin for sportsmen. And when you get into Boy Scouts, there's a merit badge. I think it's sportsmen again. But you've got to play.
Yeah, athletics.
Yeah. You got to play a couple of seasons or whatever. So it's still, you can have your regular, normal, non-scouting life and take all of that and apply it to your scouting life and not get retested. You know, I mean, you have to explain what you did and kind of prove that you did it, but not replay all the stuff you just did, because that's no fun. No one likes to no one likes to be retested on stuff they already know.
Well, and it depends on what you value. You'll find time for what you value. I've coached three soccer teams in the same season and been a not the best den leader in the world, but an effective one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can tell what somebody values by where they spend their time at. And I spent a lot of time coaching, and I think there's a lot that you can get out of it.
Yeah.
But I think you have to work a little harder and look a little deeper to try to get that same kind of value out of athletics for your son than you would with Cub Scouts. With Cub Scouts, it's there on the surface in everything that they do. You know, on a sports team, you more often than not, you're kind of learning from someone else's bad example. If you think it's important, you'll make the time for it. And it's a shame that more people don't do that, but you can only take care of the ones who come.
Yeah. Well, and I've said this to parents. I said, look, if you do scouts for a while and you find that your son is way more interested in football or lacrosse or whatever you've got going, and he's going to devote his entire time to doing it, and it's a worthwhile thing for him, I understand that. I just don't want someone to leave because they're not having fun and they're not interested. Because if they find another passion in their life, great. Hopefully they'll remember me, you know, when they're given a speech or something. And it's not even that, really. Hopefully they remember that their time in Scouts was fun.
Yeah, but I think there's room for both, and maybe it's a little easier on the Boy Scout side. You know, I've got a couple scouts that are in lacrosse, and they're gone for a few months. I've got, you know, my patrol leader, he's in football for 3-4 months out of the year, and he's flat out gone, like not there at all. But as soon as football ends, he's right back in the mix of things, and he's going on the campouts, and you know, he's leading the troops. So I think there's room for both, and I know it's hard for parents to understand that, and I always hear that same excuse of, well, we're already too involved. So, but I buy it.
The too busy. I'm gonna end up in a fight with the next person who says that. Cause, yeah, like I said, it's I'll compare calendars with anybody to see just how busy they are, and it's, you know, if they want it, if the boy wants it, they'll find a way. Yeah, you know, there's plenty of room to have a well-rounded childhood doing scouting and soccer, baseball, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever you want to try, that's what it's about. Yeah. Is letting them have those experiences.
We only have 18 years to affect, you know, our kids, and if those 18 years are filled with running them back and forth between things they're passionate about and things they get something out of, then that's 18 well invested years, in my opinion.
Yeah. You can rest when they're off to college.
Yep.
I hope.
Yeah, and it can be done. I'm living proof of that. I was very involved, you know, in high school between band and choir and drama and baseball and football early on and whatnot, and still managed to get my Eagle. You know, granted, my project was done 2 weeks before my 18th birthday. My board of review was on my 18th birthday.
Us Scoutmasters love people like you.
Yeah, you know, but I stayed through the program, but you know, have come to learn. I've heard some things from other Scoutmasters around here. It's like, you know, try to get your boys to get their Eagle before the fumes come around, perfumes and car fumes. you know, and having been there, yeah, I would encourage that, you know, get it before you get your license, and your life is going to be a heck of a lot easier. Trust me, been there, done that. I think it comes the busy, oh, my schedule's too busy to either help out as a leader or get your boy to a meeting. I think becomes an excuse of not being passionate or not being, you know, as caring about the program, which is unfortunate. We can't save the boys from their parents. But, you know, speaking from personal experience, I think it's probably a little bit more easier for flexibility in the boys' attendance at the Boy Scout level than at the Cub Scout level, especially with the Denon resource guide, because we've got a schedule. You know, I've got 16 meetings that I've got to get through, you know, between now and essentially Blue and Gold, although that's a full year. But, you know, I've got 10 meetings or so to get you your rank earned, because that's what National says I need to do. You know, and if boys are missing, you know, a couple of 3-4 Den meetings, 2 months worth or 3 months worth, if the parents aren't involved and they're not doing and keeping up at home, then they're left behind. Yeah. And if the boys left behind, as we found with National, then they lose interest, and then it just snowballs from there. And I think that's what the whole Denon Resource Guide, you know, how that came to be was boys that advance, whether it's together or not, stay in it longer. Mm-hmm. And it was a radical shift, because, you know, there were some, you know, blogs and podcasts of, you know, folks saying, no, you know, the Cub Scout program is a Kayla and the boy doing the stuff at home. And then National comes out with the Denon Resource Guide, and it's all about the Den meeting now and doing all of the requirements, with a few exception of some home assignments, in the Den meeting. You know, and at the Cub Scout level, if you miss, you know, 3 out of 4 Den meetings over the course of 2 months, if you're not keeping up at home, then you're that far behind. And it's, as a Den leader, it's hard to, you know, it would be hard for me to now have to make time to get him caught up at a Den meeting when I'm trying to move the other boys forward, because they've already done it.
Yeah. I guess the best thing you can do is run that program and be excited about it, and don't give the kid any option in their mind where they want to go that night. Cause there's no parent in the world that's going to say, no, you cannot go to scouting tonight, if the kid's sitting there begging, saying, I really want to go to scouts cause I have fun. And there's no parent that's going to turn them down.
Well, the nice thing, and this is, and we're all fully committed. I mean, in my pack. I haven't run across it too much, but it's like, hey, I'm busy, I'm all this. And I just kind of look at them, and you guys see this because I'm on Twitter and Facebook and whatnot. I kind of blog or check in of where I am. And right now I'm in Boise, Idaho. I'm on a road trip. But I've set aside Monday nights for pack and den meetings because that's when we have the school. And then I'll make time for round tables. Heck, I even go to other people's round tables.
We thank you for that.
Yes. Now you got your ticket
that's
done.
Great.
Yeah, I know. I got a beer out of the deal. No, I didn't have beer that night.
You got a gold woggle, or you got a leather woggle out of it.
I got a leather woggle out of it. That's true.
There you go.
Yeah.
And there's a gold one in it for anybody else that comes to my round table and helps.
Yeah. It's cold now.
It is not.
Oh, it's like 30 degrees.
Oh.
All the people in Arizona freeze. But that's my level of dedication because I want to make sure that no boy doesn't have fun. You know, our pack has, well, our committee chair and treasurer are off in India right now with their companies. It's, you know. And we're still emailing a few things back and forth. You know, it's just they travel and I travel and the other guys travel, and it's, we make it a priority to be there. And I think if the parents can see that, it's like, well, you're here every week. And I'm like, yeah, because if I'm not, the program's not, because nobody else is going to step up. So, and the boys, I mean, we're here for the boys. Well, hey, we're about an hour, about 90 minutes into this thing. Let's wrap this up with, our final thoughts as Cub Masters and Den Leaders and the Scout Master, if we can each take a minute or less, if you want to say something in the end.
This is Derek. I appreciate you putting this together and talking with us. That's this has been very nice. And I just want to kind of piggyback off of one thing that Jeff mentioned earlier, that Rockwellian idea of delivering the program at least as he remembers it. On the flip side of that, I didn't get the chance to be a scout growing up. Was a wolf for a very short period of time in the den. Kind of collapsed, I guess, and that was the end of that. But the same thing I've seen with a few other scouters in our pack has been that they didn't get to be scouts growing up, and they want to try to give their kids, if not that image of what they remember, of what they wish they had had. So I think it's just like you said, delivering the program. You know, the National's done a real good job of laying out, you know, all these things. When you look at the handbooks, it's just, this is what it means to be a boy. These are the fun things to do while you grow up, and just giving them that opportunity to do those things.
Well said. Next, if you want to say anything.
I think I'm good. You know, I just delivering that promise and you know, having the passion, but then tempering it for those that may not share it full force that we do. But not letting that flame kind of die out. You know, and just giving. I come back to it time and time again. You know, giving those boys the opportunities that they wouldn't already have. To have, and I think that's what, you know, we're finding the success in, and hopefully, you know, being able to carry that on.
Good. Phil?
Do you dare allow me to read a Scoutmaster Minute?
Sure.
No?
Sure.
No?
Well,
this is what we do.
It's either that or sing.
I'd rather read you a Scoutmaster Minute.
He came prepared.
I did. I have my book of Scoutmaster Minutes my wife made me for Christmas last year. But yeah, it's my boys time me at troop meetings that they actually sit there and say it's not really a Scoutmaster minute, and they sit there with their stopwatches and time me. But if you don't mind, I'll read you a Scoutmaster minute.
Sure, Phil. Read us a Scoutmaster minute.
It's called "The Little Fellow Follows Me." A careful scouter I ought to be, a little scout follows me. I do not dare to go astray, for fear he will go the same way. Not once can I escape his eyes. Whatever he sees me do, he tries. Like me, he says he's going to be that little scout who follows me. He thinks that I am good and fine, believes in every word of mine. The bad in me he must not see, the little scout who follows me. I must remember as I go through summer sun and winter snow, I'm building for the years to be, that little scout who follows me. I'll leave you with that.
That's very good. I guess I'd just like to wrap this up and say, you know, you guys responded to the emails for this podcast. I'm definitely going to do this again. I've gotten a lot from our internet roundtable. I mean, it's kind of blossomed from Twitter onto Facebook for some of us, and Google Plus. We all kind of tend to learn and steal from each other, and we get to ask questions of each other of like, hey, I just had this happen, what would you do? And I know that's helped me out a lot this past year or so. And it's, you know, we can't all get to round table, but this certainly counts as a round table. So we'll do this again. I really appreciate you guys being here. Learned a few other things tonight, so we'll see how the editing goes. We'll get this out on the internet. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Adam.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, man.
Yeah. All right.
Announcements, announcements, announcements. A terrible death to die. A terrible death to die. A terrible death to be talked to death. A terrible death to die. Announcements, announcements, announcements. Oh.
Well, I'm a registered scouter and follow the Boy Scouts of America's guidelines and bylaws. This podcast is no way supported or endorsed by the Boy Scouts of America. The Scouter Adam podcast is only here to help and inform and to act as a journal of my scouting activities. The Scouter Adam podcast is independently operated and is no way sponsored or endorsed by or affiliated with the Boy Scouts of America. The opinions expressed herein are those of the Scouter Adam podcast alone and in no way represent the views of the Boy Scouts of America. The Scouter Adam podcast is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Non-Derivative 3.0 United States license.